Hi pals.
I'm Abby.
And I'm Moira. Welcome to Yapcast, a place where we talk about the things we know and care too much about.
This week's topic, Hadestown the Musical.
Moira and Abby are gonna yap today. We've got special interests and too much to say.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I can go first if you want.
Hell yeah, let's go.
What is my background with the topic?
Yeah.
I come at it from a musical theatre point of view.
So why did you like, when you first went, I'm going to listen to the soundtrack of Hadestown, like what attracted you to like consuming it in the first place?
Janine had been to see it on Broadway.
Yeah.
And when she had seen it, she was like, you should listen to this. It's really good. But I think at the time my life was consumed with other musicals.
Yeah.
And also that typical thing of like, if someone tells me to do something, I'm then not going to do it. I think at the time I was more like into Hamilton and various other musicals. She told me what it was about. I don't know anything about Greek mythology. And she was like, it's very folksy. And I was like, oh, I don't think that I'm going to like that.
Yeah.
So I'll save it for a rainy day kind of thing. And I listened to one song. I remember hearing Wait For Me Reprise and being like, okay, that's a good song.
Yeah.
And then I listened to another song, but it was, I can't remember which one it was, but it was random and it was out of order.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then one day I was like, I'm gonna, because with things like that, with things like Hamilton sung through musicals, I really have to dedicate time to do it because you have to learn everybody's name, learn what the plot is, and you've got to like give your full attention to it.
Yeah.
And then one day I gave my full attention to it and I was like, oh, people are making points. This is really good.
Yes. It is very good.
Yeah.
It is very good. It's so interesting because you told me to listen to it.
Yeah.
You were like, Moira, you're going to really like this. And I was like, okay. Obviously, I love Greek mythology. I know a fair bit about very specific myths. I'm not well-versed holistically on Greek mythology, but it's like little pieces of it have really, really captured my imagination. Things like I really love the concept of the Oracle of Delphi, for example. And I think it's a really, like, Greek mythology and also, like, Greek tragedy are such poignant storytelling devices that I kind of really resonated with that. And I really like Hades, the video game, and Orpheus and Eurydice are part of that. So you were like, you should check it out. And I was like, yeah, I should. That's accurate. I probably should check it out. It is like completely something that I would enjoy. And then I think it was when I was getting ready to move overseas. I needed something to just like listen to while I was doing like packing and deciding whether I was keeping stuff or throwing it out. And so I just like listened to it end to end. And I was like, okay, this changed my life. And I think I listened to Wait For Me. I have like a playlist that's called like a put this mental breakdown on hold or something like that. And it's got that song on it. It's got like Maggie Rogers, It All Works Out in the End, that kind of stuff. And it was like Wait For Me. And I listened to it. Oh, I think it was my top five most played song.
The Wait For Me or the Reprise?
Wait For Me, like the OG. Yeah. Now I like Reprise more. But before I saw it, I preferred the first Wait For Me. On that note, how many times have you seen it?
if we're counting...
across all countries.
Across all countries, including Amsterdam last night.
Yes.
14.
Crying.
I don't think that's a lot.
It's twice as many times as I've seen it.
It did beat my old record, which was 6, which I've seen 12 times.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That was the 6, too many numbers.
Yeah. I can't see 6 again now. Yeah. It needs to be an even numbers.
You see it twice more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I've only seen it 7 times. So
7 is still a lot, considering you don't, well, up until recently, you don't live in any of the countries that were showing Hades Town.
Yeah, that's very true. I traveled to see it 5 times.
Yeah.
Well, 6 times if you count going back to Australia to see it.
That counts because you don't live there at the minute.
Yeah, okay. Well, what exactly is it that we want to... So obviously we've come at it from different things in terms of like you're very musical theatre. I like musical theatre, but it's not like my number one kind of thing coming into why I like Hades Town.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things do you like want to talk about? Give me a taste. Give me a tease. Give me like... What's the little tantalizing little...
Probably that same thing of like, here is why you like it from somebody who's obsessed with Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Here is why I like it as someone who's obsessed with musical theatre.
Yeah.
And how they come together so well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Because you have the knowledge that I don't. Even now, even after seeing the musical, I'm like, I still have not heard anything about Greek mythology.
Yeah, okay. I think I've kind of got like a... I actually like did a bit more research because I know the myth and I know like the hierarching, like the themes of it. I know the like Greek tragedy of it all, that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of like, when it comes to Greek mythology, there's a lot of like extra things to understand about the context in which people would tell the story and the context in which like these mythological figures were existed outside of the specific like mythology that you might know them for. Obviously things like, you know, you tell a story and Athena, the goddess, appears. Obviously she's in many mythologies and stuff like that. So Orpheus is a character like that. He appears in many mythologies, and I wasn't necessarily across all of them. So I had a bit of research. I think Orpheus as a character is something I want to talk about, as well as Eurydice, both in the myth and externally outside of that, because I don't think she really drew on any other of that stuff that exists about them outside of the very specific tragedy of Orpheus and Eurydice, and how different they are compared to their mythological versions, which I think is very interesting. I think it made for an interesting storytelling experience. First of all, Orpheus, in like no version of the myth, is he just some poor boy working on a song? Like, the whole premise of him is that he is a big deal. Like, he is... It's like if you tried to tell a story about Ed Sheeran and you were like, this guy that nobody knows wrote a song. Like, everyone knows Ed Sheeran. My mum knows Ed Sheeran. Everyone knows Ed Sheeran. Orpheus is a big deal singer-songwriter. Not only that, he's either, depending on the version of the myth, he's either the son of Apollo, so a demigod, or the son of a king, so a prince. There is like no version of it where he's just like some guy who just likes to play his little lyre and sing his little songs. Like,
well, he's a muse's son.
Yes.
In the musical.
He's always a muse's son, but he is the muse is his mother, and it'll either be Apollo is his father or the king of, maybe I wrote down the country. A king of Thrace is his father. I'm not going to, Ogris, I think is how you say that, a king of Thrace. So there's like, he's always a big deal. And Eurydice isn't a human. She's a nymph, I think. Is she a nymph? Yeah, a wood nymph. And it's weird because like she just gets bit by a snake. Like in the real version, in the myth, she's like, they're getting married and she's walking and the snake bites her and she dies. And I know that it was changed in the musical so that she has a choice, which I actually don't agree. I don't think she has a choice. It's like starve to death or choose to die.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the illusion of choice, but it's also not even the illusion of choice, right? Because it's like the whole thing is like, I'm hungry. I need to eat. I will starve to death or I will go to Hadestown and I don't know, the illusion of choice. But anyway, so she is a mythological creature herself. And she is not a poor girl. I think the way that it's told in the musical is an interesting, like, way to retell it, because who they are, like, if you take away that stuff, you have so much more room to play, like, about who they are and who they can be in the story. But I just thought that was interesting, like, Orpheus is like this huge deal, like singer-songwriter guy in every version of the myth. Like he appears in the one about the gold fleece. Travel with Jason and the Argonauts in search of the golden fleece. So he's like, which I guess chronologically would have happened first if you want to apply chronology to myths that aren't real, which is another interesting fact, which I will say in a second. But like he's been on like big quests. He's like the bard that comes along and does his little sing-song thing. So I just think it's interesting the way that she's kind of taken away that. And I think it gives the story more room to breathe, maybe, or it subverts it enough to create something new.
I think it makes you root for Orpheus more, having him be just some guy, like almost, you know, he's working hard as everybody else.
Having the, because everyone's on hard times and stuff like that, I think it also recontextualizes it as something that we relate to now, because it is hard times now. It was hard times when she wrote it.
Yeah.
I think if you were like, it's hard times and here's this king's son to save the day, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting. My interesting fact about the fact that he was in some other myths is Orpheus could have been real. There is like reason to believe that he was like a real, they wrote this myth about a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously he didn't marry a wood nymph and then go down to hell when she died and walk back.
Or did he?
But obviously he appeared in other tales. Aristotle was like, there's no way he can be real because he didn't appear in the Iliad or in the Odyssey, which obviously famously are just so real. So obviously Aristotle was just like back in the day
when back
Aristotle
in the day.
was trying to work out, and yeah, that was his whole supporting evidence was he didn't appear in any of Homer's works. So he can't be real. But we also don't know whether the Trojan War happened or not, which is like obviously pretty big part of Homer's work. So who knows? He could have been real. Just a fun little fact.
Interesting.
Yeah. And also the reason that Orpheus struggles. So like obviously his great love died and then he walks around being sad about it. He can't die because no method of killing him, like he tries to kill himself and because everything falls in love with him as he plays his music, nothing will like kill him. So yeah, it takes Dionysus getting really upset with him for him to like die. So interesting. And in the end they are reunited in the Elysium fields, so that's exciting. Ooh. they do come together again in the end, which is also not in the musical.
No.
Which I think it, I mean, if the Was it the Western critics that were like, why is there no happy ending?
Yeah. People there were like, this is not a new story.
Yeah. Well, there is actually a happy ending. They've come together again in the Elysium Fields. And
And as they say, top of the show.
Yeah.
It's a sad song.
It is, in fact,
it's
a sad song.
It's a tragedy.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know.
Yep.
What people expect, but again, that it is that thing of it's the Orpheus of it, isn't it? It's,
yeah.
I love hearing the turnaround because, like, we all, or at least we all, kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think it's obviously that you don't know how it's going to happen in this instance, and in the back of your mind, you're like,
maybe it will.
Yeah, maybe it'll work out this time. He's not going to turn around.
Mm.
He's out. She's not.
Yes. I love, especially because we've seen the West End version between us, 12 times?
Mm. Yeah.
It's the same staging. Oftentimes it's the same cast.
Yeah.
And I'm still gasping every time he turns around.
I feel like, especially last night, the Amsterdam cast.
Yeah.
I, for the first time in a while, I literally had that feeling in my stomach of, you know, when the lift comes up and he's going towards the stairs, it was like panic.
Yeah.
Of like, but again, almost like a, oh, he's going to do it. It's going to be fine. And then he turned around and I was like, no.
No, stop, don't. Yeah. Oh man, I just love this musical. Okay, my next fun Orpheus fact is there was a cult. Orphism. He had like a cult.
Orphism.
I hope I'm pronouncing that wrong because that's a really stupid name for a cult. But like Greek times, they obviously had their story of the gods and the titans and how the gods, blah, blah, blah. But like Orphism, apparently founded by Orpheus, so they say. I mean, every cult says they come from some, you know. But yeah, they suggested a different form of how the gods versus the titans went. I didn't go deep enough to find out what that different story was, but yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So in every version of the universe.
Yeah.
There's people who different opinions.
Yeah, pretty much every version of religion.
Yeah.
But I mean that was actually like a pretty defining feature of Greek, like every Greek had like not their favorite god, because they would go to different, but like each god typically had like a cult. So like the people that went to Delphi, that lived in the Apollo temple in Delphi, like worshipped the cult. They were part of the sort of cult of Apollo. And it was like, kind of like a fan club, but also kind of like, you know, if there are versions of the tale where Apollo did this, this, and this, they might have like a different story to it and be like, well, that's actually wrong. And Apollo was like this, this, this. So I don't know enough to be like, I imagine that there were multiple cults that had different versions of like the gods versus the titans, but there's definitely like cults that believed different versions of the stories that like favored their god or favored them, you know. So
good job they didn't have Twitter.
Yeah. Oh my god, could you imagine the fan wars?
actually
Apollo wasn't tricked. Okay. He meant to do that. God damn it.
He's not lazy. He's got Lyme disease. Like
my next point.
Before you move on, please. Quickly. Orphism. Great band name. If you wanted to do folk songs about mythology.
I'll play
at the Ren Fair.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll add that Orphism
to
the list of ongoing musical projects I have.
Yes.
Sixth in line. Oh, God. One day I'll finish one of them.
Yeah. I believe in you.
I don't believe in me. I don't believe in me at all.
Your next point.
My next point. I wanted to talk about Hades the game because I'm me.
Yeah. It's another thing. Sorry. Another thing that I know nothing about as well. So
I'll have to play it for you.
Yes.
So you can understand. But they have a version of Orpheus. And actually, you know what? Let me just quickly look this up. Because you're going to be like, what the fuck is that thing? That's Orpheus? That's Orpheus in Hades.
That's Orpheus?
Yep.
No wood nymph or woman would fall in love with that.
No. And then...
his lyre
that's,
is incredible.
Yes. That's Eurydice.
Okay, she's cool.
She's stunning.
What is that? Oh my god, do you know what it's giving? It's giving, it's the hair, David Bowie in Labyrinth.
Oh my god, it is. It is. With the makeup, too. Yeah. That is a poor boy working
that's
on a song.
That's a poor boy, yeah. Maybe that's what she based. Yeah. Because she saw that and went, oh my god. That man is on hard times. Oh my god.
He is on hard. So... in Hades, the game, it's like after the fact. So it's like
okay. He
is in Hades' like power home, and she is, for some whack reason, she's in, Asphodel? She's in Asphodel, I think. She's pissed off in the game too. She's like, you turned around and you did all that. And she's like, they're not talking. They're both dead, but they're not talking. And Orpheus won't sing until he's reunited with her. It's also an interesting interpretation of, like, I also don't think there's a version of Eurydice. In my head, I don't think there's a version of Eurydice that is upset with Orpheus for turning around because she loves him too, and she gets it.
She would have done the same.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That people tend to miss.
I don't think it's very accurate is what I wrote here, but I do like it because it's interesting.
I mean, I guess carrying on from when I first started listening to it, I fell into it like quite quickly. At the start, there was three songs that I listened to the most out of the whole soundtrack. Like, I was like, okay, I don't really feel like I want to listen to the full thing again. I listened to All I've Ever Known.
Yes.
One of the best songs ever written, as is most of this soundtrack.
Yes.
It was All I've Ever Known. I think it was The Wedding Song.
Yes.
And Wait For Me, Reprise.
Yes.
I listened to those three on repeat. I don't even think I had the album downloaded, like the full complete album. I had those three songs and I listened to them. And then I came back around and was like, I'm going to listen again and again. like front to back. Mm. And thank God I did.
Yes.
My bank account would not agree, but thank God I did. And then I think it did, although I listened to it front to back, and I was like, this is really good. I then listened to those three songs. So I think it did still take some time for the full thing to like really embed in my mind. But after that, I then, like my favourite songs changed. It quickly went to Chant.
Yes.
Because, oh my God.
Yes.
What an incredible sequence of things. And I remember listening to it and being like, how do they do this on stage? There's so many different things going on at the same time. There's so many characters involved, but it's all linked into one. Like, what is this going to be like? And then we saw it for the first time and it just completely surpassed.
Yes.
Anything that I could have thought of.
I really like in Chant how obviously you've got kind of the the four separate things going on and Hermes in the middle of it. Like, you've got Persephone and Hades, you've got the workers, you've got Orpheus, and you've got Eurydice. And it kind of really balances, like, it's such a... There are a couple of songs like this in the musical. I don't know if transition is correct, but you've got all these moving parts at once. To get us from sort of one part of the story to the next. And Chant is one of them, and it does it so well.
So well. Because it just descends into madness then. Into chaos. I do really love Hermes in that song once again. Being on the outside of almost looking in as the narrator of the story. I really enjoy Hermes being the narrator and like taking us through the story. And them feeling the pain of it as it goes through, because they know what's going to happen, but they can't. They can't change anything. They can't do anything, no matter what they say. It's not going to change, work out this time. It's not going to change. But yeah, I feel like listening to the soundtrack, from listening to the soundtrack for the first time to seeing it for the first time, so many things changed in that, like, songs that I was excited to see were incredible to see live, but then so many other things came to the front. So, like, you, I think you said that you would repeat Wait For Me, and then after you saw the show, it became, like, the reprise. It was the opposite for me. I loved Wait For Me reprise. It's an incredible song, and you've got Eva Noblezada doing some incredible vocals, some incredible acting through song at the end of that song. But seeing Wait For Me, Orpheus's Wait For Me, and seeing where that is in the story and the huge moment that comes along with it, I was like, okay, this is better than the reprise. I was like,
especially
I get it
Donal
now.
Singing
it. That blew me away.
I think Orpheus live, especially the Orpheuses we've seen.
The Orphei.
The what is the plural of Orpheus? Asking the real questions. That emotion is such a big difference. And even the recorded version of the West End, I don't think captures it as well as seeing it live.
No.
There
is nothing. I mean, there's a pro shot coming.
Oh yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
But
I saw it.
Yeah, and I'm all for pro shots. And theatre should be more accessible. And it's going to be an incredible moment. But, like, I can't even comprehend what that moment is like.
Yeah.
That man is so desperate, and at least the way that Donald played him as well, you know.
Yeah.
I just love it.
I just love it so much.
Every time it gets to the piano motif at the start and you hear Hermes do the, hey, the big artist, I'm like, oh, prepare myself. Time to mentally prepare myself. Yeah. Incredible. I think there's a lot of chatter, and I understand why, around that, because that's such a big moment, that should be the closer of Act One. I'm glad it's not. I'm glad it's why we build the wall, because without that, then you're not set up for. You couldn't open the second act with Why We Build the Wall.
No, you have to open it with Our Lady of the Underground.
Yeah.
I feel like, really feel like Why We Build the Wall is such a underrated song.
Yeah.
And I feel like last night I cried during Why We Build the Wall.
Yeah.
Good Hades. Yeah. Oh, he was so good. He was so good. Oh, man. I wish I could experience that moment again. When he started singing, I wish I could experience that moment again. I feel that with Zachary James as well. Yeah. I wish I could experience the moment where he opened his mouth for the first time. But I feel like it really places it in, obviously, the whole thematic sense of Hades Town is it's a sad song and we sing it again. And Why Do We Build the Wall recontextualizes it for us. I feel like this is the part of the story that we're seeing right now around us. Mm-hmm. We're in this story and we're hearing it again. And I feel like it's such a good way to close because of that.
Yeah.
Because it's like you open with the, you know, West Side and then you close with that whole thematic loop. And for me, that's what makes it the story that we tell again.
Yeah. To the point that sometimes I wish that it didn't end on Persephone going, anybody want a drink?
I know.
I'm like, oh, I do like it. It's funny and like it makes sense and everything, but I don't think the impact is lost because of it, but I think it would be more impactful had that line not been said.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Yeah.
I didn't write the show. I didn't direct the show.
No. I feel like if you went off into intermission without it, you'd be like, in emotional desperation, which you already in the show on.
Yeah.
So I feel like it kind of means that you can go to interval and get a drink and stuff like that.
And then it sets up
Our Lady.
Our Lady, because she comes in off her face.
Yeah.
And emotional.
Yes.
But yeah. I mean, that first viewing of the West End cast, the original West End cast, was so good that we booked tickets immediately during the interval.
Yeah, we were in the interval booking front row seats, weren't we?
Yep.
Yep.
We were like, okay, how soon can we do this again from the front row? And I would recommend, if it, like, to anyone seeing it for the first time, like, dress circle.
Yes.
Because then you get the big picture.
Yeah.
And the
turntable.
The turntable, the lift.
Yeah.
Looks incredible.
Yes.
And then, should you wish to see it again, which you should.
Yes, you will.
Like, front rows of stalls.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of small moments that you might not see from back there.
Mm.
And my favourite thing in the world is to watch Orpheus during Doubt Comes In.
Yes. Or
the end of Wait For Me reprise into Doubt Comes In. Oh. Because the acting.
Yeah.
The acting.
Yeah. Yeah.
From every Orpheus, every iteration of Orpheus that I've seen, they've all done it different and it's all worked incredibly well.
Mm.
And it makes me feral. Like, it makes me be like, oh my god, you can just watch, like, he doesn't even say anything, you know. The start of Doubt Comes In is like quite a long bit of just music. There's not singing until the fates arrive.
Oh, the fates.
And further away, it's still like an interesting thing visually that they do with it. But being close and being able to see the torment that Orpheus is going through just as he's stood there walking, like, incredible piece of acting and directing, and like, when you've got that all together.
Mm. I also like to see it. Flowers up close.
Flowers
up close, because she's on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such a small, I feel like I didn't get flowers until I was up close. Even from the soundtrack, I was like, oh, yeah. But now it's like one of my favorites. Like, the All I've ever known, wedding song, all I've ever known to Flowers and Promises.
Yeah.
I feel like it's such a, obviously the there's a larger story around it, but their story, their love story, separate to Eurydice dying and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That they're such a good bookend to to how they grow. I love it. I love it so much.
Me too. Me too. I think one of my favourite things about Hades Town is the band being on stage.
Yes.
And I love when you can see a band.
Mm.
However, sometimes I don't because then I get distracted. I know. Because I'm like, you're all very talented. I want to watch each of you.
Yeah.
But I can't. I need to watch. I need to watch the musical.
Yeah.
But just how ingrained the band are into the story.
Mm.
Like, they're not just a band on stage, mm. like with some musicals.
Yeah.
Kind of what that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're involved in everything.
Mm.
They all get a cup
filled
with water to raise.
Yeah, it feels like they're part of, like, the work ensemble or something like that. Like, they're...
The music drives it.
Yeah.
I think, what is it? Is what it is. Mm. Persephone interacts with the band. We get introduced to the band.
As part of the song.
Name by name, as part of the song.
Yeah.
To show that they're in this too.
Yeah.
Because we all are.
Yeah.
It's another kind of like almost breaking a fourth wall thing. The same as when Hermes does the, you have to prove it before gods and men.
And we are the men.
Yeah. Because I think obviously at the start of the show he's narrating and he is literally, he's introducing everybody to us and we're clapping and everything.
Mm.
But then, you know, you kind of forget that, you know, you are in this story and you're a part of this. And then they bring you back and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I am integral to this too.
Yeah.
The I think same with the
it
band.
Was really kind of sad in I assume it's the same in the tour. In the Australia, at least in Sydney, I'm not sure about Melbourne, the lift was where the drummer usually is.
Yeah.
So the drummer was backstage. And I know you can't really see him because it's a screen, but it was a little bit sad that they weren't on stage.
Did they still introduce him?
Yeah.
Did they still do the...
Yeah. It just wasn't on stage. Or maybe, I mean, it's really quite possible that they were still visible, but I was up in dress circles, so I couldn't see.
I think one of the good things about having had the privilege to see it as many times as I have is that I can now, especially if I'm going to see a cast that I've already seen, I'm like, I just want to see Hades Town.
Yeah.
Nobody in particular is on. It's just the current West End cast. I just want to see it again.
Mm.
Is that I can now watch the band.
Yes.
I can now watch what the Fates are doing when they're sat down.
Yes.
I actually did it a little bit yesterday as well, mainly because of that size of that
stage.
I felt like I could see more. They were more exposed.
Mm.
So there was little things that the Fates did. And again, I don't know if it's... a their choice thing or if it was a direction of all Fates do it.
Mm.
Just have to see a different cast and see.
I feel like there's definitely stuff like I really, really enjoyed the Amsterdam version of it. I feel like that especially the Fates, it felt different in a good way. Like the harmonies were a little bit different.
Yeah.
Just the way that they kind of played it felt a little bit different in a good way.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed them.
His Kiss the Riot. Oh. Underrated song of the show.
It's so good.
Performed by Hades. It is essentially just poetry.
Yes.
And that damn line, have I made myself their lord just to fall upon the sword of some pauper's minor chord?
It goes for chills every time. It gives me chills every time. Oh, there are so many lines like that that are like the other one is in is it in Epic 2? The Hades with a million hands at an
oh yeah, my other favorite line from this song.
Yeah.
From the show. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. The river of Styx is a river of stones, and Hades lays them high and thick with a million hands that are not his own.
Mm.
How does that come out of somebody's brain?
I don't know. I wish to be half as good at writing one day.
Like the imagery
that
conjures up, especially when you've got, as he's saying those lines, the workers have come up and they're in that position that is like, it's so striking.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I have this visual of it. And then they give you the visual as well. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. Incredible.
I feel like I cry in different points every time we watch it, though. And I think it depends entirely on the Orpheus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also on the Hades and Persephone.
Yeah. I'm big on the Hades Persephone relationship.
Mm.
Vibe, chemistry. Mm. Shout out to Hades last night again, because now that I've slept on it as well, I'm like, he actually might be the best that I've ever seen.
Ooh. He was.
I cannot believe how good he was.
I know. Both in terms of like his, the way that he vocalized and the way that he sang, but the way that he played it and the choices that he made. I don't know if they were his choices or like the direction of the whole performance and stuff like that. But
I don't think I've ever seen a Hades like him. There was parts that reminded me of Zachary.
Mm.
But then he completely made it his own and it was phenomenal.
It was so good.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know when you're like, oh, you really understand the character that you're playing, at least in this iteration of the story.
Yeah.
Like, you've done your homework.
Mm.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. He read Percy Jackson.
Derogatory.
He watched Hercules, the Disney version.
Complimentary. I think even now, it's very different to any musical that I've ever listened to. Mm. I listened to a lot of, I'm like a classics girly, because I have this thing with modern musicals. Where
they don't make them like they used to.
Yeah, they don't make them like they used to. where a lot of the times I'm not into the music.
Yeah.
And it's a musical.
Yeah.
Awesome. Distinctive sound is what I like. And that's the, like, Hamilton is a modern musical, but not in the sense of other modern musicals. It has this sound that is unlike anything else because it's storytelling, whereas some modern musicals tend to be like pop centered or something, and I get what they're trying to do, but on me that is lost. I am a Stephen Sondheim fan.
I feel like Six does it well in that it uses pop as the inspiration to create a sound, but it doesn't use it as the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Like, still in my list of things, it's still the most different modern thing that I listen to. I find it hard to find a good modern musical that that makes me feel the way that I feel when I listen to Sondheim. Like, there's so much emotion in those things and humor, you know?
Yeah.
They make you think, you know? And that's what I want from a musical. And that is what I achieved. And I don't think I've ever had a feeling quite like seeing that stage split open for the first time during Wait For Me.
Yes.
I think the only other time that I felt something similar was when I finally got to see a production of Hello, Dolly.
Sorry. Sure. Is it about the sheep?
No. Okay. It'd be a very different musical if it was. We should write that.
Cloning a sheep.
Yeah. But no, Hello Dolly is not about cloning sheep. But like, I knew it was coming. I knew that the train was going to come on stage. It's a big steam train. So I kind of knew that, with no context. That sounds really strange. Yeah. Just there's a steam train.
Okay. And it goes on stage.
Yeah. I knew that the steam train was going to come out. Well, I didn't know that the steam train was going to come out. Mm. In previous productions, big steam train. Really cool.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was in this production. And it's where like the song climaxes and it's like, the orchestra is very full and all of the ensemble are on stage and it's incredible and you've got these amazing costumes and the train came on and I was like, oh my god. Immediately cried. It's not a sad song. I'm crying at a train. The woman next to me must have been like, what are you doing? Just a train.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've waited for this for so long. Yeah, I think that's the only time that I've had like that similar feeling. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Like,
good.
Because I'd seen, because of who I am as a person and what I like, I'd seen clips of bootlegs.
Yeah.
Because it's me.
Yeah.
But nothing of either of those moments. The, you know, the stage comes apart. I had no idea that the stage comes apart.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I didn't.
Yeah. It was so shocking.
Yeah. And then didn't know about the lights thing. Didn't know about the turn. Like, I knew the lift went down. I didn't know it also went up.
Yeah. It was so good. The staging of it is so good.
Yeah. The lighting in that musical is fantastic. And you really see it in Doubt Comes In.
I feel like it's almost like the lighting and the staging are like characters in their own right. I feel like, I think that's, I loved the Australia cast. I loved it. But I feel like that's, with the lift at the back, it threw all that off whack because the look back, you have to like kind of do it differently.
Yeah.
Which changes the way that you do Doubt Comes In. And then like, you know, the bit where Hades and Persephone, go down for the, when she, he comes too early for her, and Eurydice's like kind of makes you wonder how it feels, and he looks at her. He's at the back, right? Because they're about to go down in the lift, and it's just, it completely changes the way that moment is because they're not the center of attention at the stage. So I feel like that's why. Like the staging and the lighting is so intrinsic to the show that when it's not there, it's not worse for it, but it's so much better with it that it's like very different.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Out of the three fits, which one would you be? Or would you like to play if you were ever in Hades Town?
I would want to be the violin.
Yes. Fate. Fate three?
Bella. Fate Bella. Fate Bella. That's the fate.
Fate Bella.
Yep.
Shout out Bella Brown.
You are
incredible.
And when we saw it for the very first time, I was genuinely afraid of her.
Yeah.
She was so scary. And also, I can play the violin. That being said, I think it'd be so fun to learn the accordion.
Yeah. That would be Fate 3, accordion.
Yeah. That would be so much fun. That being said, I actually also play percussion, so having the, and I like the bells. The
little bells, yeah.
I think that would be so fun. The answer is all of them. I would want to be all, I rotate every other night.
Or they swing.
Yeah.
I'll swing all of them.
That would be so hard.
Yeah.
If you could be anyone in the show, who would it be?
Oh my god. Persephone, I think.
Ooh, yes. I feel like you'd do a great Our Lady of the Underground.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
Mm.
She's so nuanced.
Mm.
Such an interesting character to, like, delve into, I think.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah.
I'd be Orpheus. I'd be Orpheus.
Of course you
would. Yeah.
I have my own lyre.
I have my own lyre, and I can play the guitar, and I can la-la-la-la-la like the best of them.
It's so funny when they say, I also play the lyre, and he points to a guitar.
I know. It really makes me laugh.
I'm like, sweet boy, that's not
that. But to be fair, I could not even begin to imagine how hard it would be to get a lyre.
Yeah.
And because lyres are all, like, they're tuned to one key.
Mm-hmm.
You could not. Well, I suppose all the epics are in the same key, but that's not the only songs he plays on it, so.
Yeah.
It'd be so cool.
Yeah. From all the different productions that you've seen, mm-hmm. the iterations of cast, has there been a standout person?
Person?
You can't say Bella Brown again. I mean, you can say Bella Brown again. I would understand.
I mean, obviously. I feel like the Fates are always the standout. Like, regardless of any, like, the Fates always make or break the production. And I've never walked away disappointed, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I feel like every iteration of the Fates that I've seen has always been mind-blowing.
Yeah.
God. I mean, like, seeing Zachary as Hades, I never cared about Hades as a character in the sense that I thought he was a great villain, I thought he was interesting, blah blah blah, but it was never like I would never listen to the songs and went, oh my god, Hades.
Yeah.
And like that changed seeing Zach do Hades changed the way that I viewed the show. So I feel like
he set the bar, he's
my standout, because I didn't walk into the show going, I'm excited to see Hades.
Yeah.
I went into the show like, oh my god, Orpheus. Oh my god, Eurydice. Oh my god, Hermes.
Yeah.
And then
he stole the show.
He stole the show. And he also, I really feel like it set the bar in terms of like Hades humanizes the show.
Yeah.
He's that emotional moment in like the climax of the second act is so integral to, and I feel like if I'd seen it live and he hadn't nailed that, I never would have been as obsessed with the show as I am.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's because of him.
Yeah.
So I feel like just simply for historical reasons, even if, you know, I see 10 Hades that I like more, perhaps in terms of interpretation and stuff like that, I don't think they'll ever reach that kind of emotional breakthrough that I had watching him do it.
Yeah.
What about you? Is it going to be Jordan?
Probably, yes. But Jordan Fisher as Orpheus. Mm. Jorpheus. That is so multi-layered for me as to why I've been a fan of him for so long. He's so such a gifted storyteller.
Mm.
Like, not just a singer, like, he's such a good storyteller. And he's been in every musical that I would have loved to have seen him in.
Mm.
You know, he was in Dear Evan Hansen, he was in Hamilton, he was in Sweeney Todd. And then he was in Hadestown.
Mm.
And it's, like, still to this day, I cannot believe that it lined up and that he extended his run. And I got to see him.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like fate.
Yeah.
I was like, he did this for me. He knew. He knew that I was going on my honeymoon. And he was like, let's extend it, lads. And I think it was so special to see him in that role.
Mm.
Because he's going to be incredible in every single role that he has done and will do.
Mm.
But you could tell that he really, really connected with Orpheus as a storyteller and as an artist. And he just blew me away It was, I'd never seen anything like that. Again, much like with the person that we saw as Hades, I need to remember his name, like truly understands a character and puts everything into it. Like that person left their soul on stage every single night.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he did it. I genuinely don't know how he did it.
Yeah.
And plus give the vocal behind it as well. But it was, I mean, we all know that Jordan Fisher is an incredible vocalist.
Yes.
And sometimes incredible vocalists just do things for the sake of it.
Yeah.
But everything was well intentioned and with the emotion behind it and like the understanding of the character behind it. So like his opt up in If It's True is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because he is pleading with them. And oh my God, it makes me cry. And seeing it front row middle was wild.
I still can't believe you were front row for it.
No, neither can I. Good. Neither can I. It makes me feel sick thinking about it. But yeah, Jordan Fisher is my standout.
Yeah.
With special nod to Melanie LaBarry.
Oh, yes.
Hermes, and the way that her character grew every time we saw it.
Yes.
And something new was added to the point where it was almost like we were watching a new show because you didn't know what she was going to do this time round. And even, and it was more heartbreaking every single time, especially her relationship with Donal, for one, but then also with Dylan.
Yeah. I liked how it grew between them.
Yes.
And it felt like...
felt different.
It felt like it added like a meta layer to the story. Of,
yeah.
This is a story that they're telling again, but it's a new Orpheus experiencing it for the first time.
Yeah.
And it just added this, like, I don't know if it was an intentional choice on her behalf, but it added this layer of weariness to the way that she played it. It was incredible.
My sleep paralysis demon is Dylan Wood's Orpheus not wanting to let go of Melanie LaBarry's Hermes.
Yeah.
And before he sings Epic 3.
Yeah. Oh man. Should we go see it again?
Yeah. I think we should.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite song as performed by a singular particular Orpheus or Eurydice?
Ooh. Merifico's Flowers.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Stunning.
Yes.
Again. Oh, actually, as well, I'm going to say it, Bella Brown's Flowers.
Yes, yes.
Actually, yeah, Bella Brown's Flowers is where I understood the song.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Bella Brown's Flowers.
Yes. Oh, man. Changed my life.
Yeah, 100. Bella Brown's Eurydice.
Oh, God, she was incredible. She's a great fate, but she's a phenomenal Eurydice.
Yeah.
God, now I have to answer my own question now. I feel like Noah's Wait For Me is probably my favorite. Like, that song was so important to me in a time in my life that was so tumultuous and change-filled. And then to be in Australia listening to an Australian non-binary neurodivergent Orpheus delivering it the way that he delivered it. Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. It was incredible. They're such an incredible vocalist. And it was just, and I got to see it with my family and they all came to Sydney to see it with me because they knew that I loved the show so much. So it's just a combination of that time that I saw it and what the song means and the person performing it. And obviously they're an incredible vocalist. So it was a culmination of all those things, I think.
I wish I could see Noah.
Yeah.
Bring Noah to London, please.
we will write the campaign. Noah, on the West End. Let's go.
Even if it's just for one show.
Yeah.
Please.
We'll be front row.
I fly them in for cover.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it front row, and I am still sad about it.
Thanks for tuning in to our Yapcast episode on Hadestown.
Tune back in for our next episode in 2 weeks, where we tackle one of Abby's special interests. Ooh.
What will it be?